Last week, we had the opportunity to look at the orders of the angels, that is, the classifications of angels. If you remember, there were three of them. There are the cherubim or cherubim, there are the seraphim, and then there is third, lastly, there are the angels, the regular order, the cherubim and the seraphim with wings and some of them with just one human face and human hands and human feet, others with four faces. I mean, just all kinds of divergence and diversity within the cherubim and the seraphim. But the angels look, every time we see them in Scripture, just like we do. They look like human beings. They don't have wings. You'll never find an angel with wings, possibly one passage, but that's debatable. They don't have wings. They always appear to be human. So what we're going to do tonight is move from the orders of the angels to the organization of the angels. What does the Scripture teach us about the organization of the angelic realm? Here's the question we're going to ponder tonight. Do angels and demons have hierarchies? Do they have ranks? Is there some angel in charge who speaks to and works for or at least serves under other angels? As we begin, I'd like to quote Roland McCune, who for decades was the professor of systematic theology at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. He says this in one of his volumes of his systematic theology. There are also special tiers or echelons in the hierarchy and organization of good angels, but it is difficult, if not impossible, to be certain of the ranking between them. So what is he saying, and what do we want to take from this as we begin our study through the Scriptures? Here's what he's saying. We need to be careful about being overly dogmatic when we talk about the ranking or hierarchy of angels. The Scriptures definitely say some things about the organization of angels, but they don't go into great detail, as you'll see. So let's find out what we can from the Scriptures regarding the organization of angels. The Bible does indicate that there are different levels of both angels and demons. So what can we glean from the Word of God? We'll learn that there are at least three levels of angels. We'll talk about first the archangels, second the chief princes, and then third, last, we'll look at the various levels of rulers. So first, archangels. What's the book that we probably turn to least when we're, you know, looking at, you know, different things? I mean, probably Obadiah. I don't know. I don't hear of people saying turn to Obadiah very often. No, we're not going there. But another one that we don't turn to very often is the book of Jude. But the book of Jude actually has a very important piece of information in it. And so let's turn there tonight. The book of Jude. And no, you don't say chapter because there is just one. So the book of Jude, verse 9, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. Talking about false teachers, Jude writes, "In like manner, these people also, the false teachers, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones." Who is a glorious one? We're talking about the angelic realm. Probably more specifically, talking about the demonic realm. The false teachers feel that they have the right to badmouth the demons, okay? To, you know, trash talk about the a demon. But as Jude warns us, when the archangel Michael, we'll come back to the word archangel because that's why we're looking at this verse, but we want to capture some context. When the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses. Remember, Moses goes up on the mountain. He's not allowed to cross over into the promised land. He can look into it, but he can't go into it. And so he passes on the mountain. There was a dispute. We wouldn't have known it, I don't think. I don't remember of any other passage that says it. But here it says there was a dispute about the body of Moses between Michael and Satan. He, that is Michael, did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Think about that for a moment. Here is the highest angel. Again, in a moment, we'll talk about this. Here is the highest angel in the entire order, probably tens, if not hundreds, of millions of angels. His name is Michael. He is disputing about the body of Moses with none other than Satan. And Michael does not presume to be able to deal directly with Satan and rebuke him regarding the body of Moses and the situation. Instead, he relies on the Lord. Now, that teaches us a very important application. It's not a primary point tonight, but an important application. Unwise is the Christian who presumes that he or she is high and mighty and blasphemes or talks down about a demon. If Michael is cautious about how he handles them, certainly we should be. Now, the point primarily here for that we want to draw from our text is the word archangel. Let's break it down. Arch or arch, and then angel. Okay, what do these mean? Angel, the Greek word angelos, angel, very simply means messenger. Arch, though, what does it mean? It means chief. Okay, so the archangel is the chief angel. What we can glean from this then is that within the angelic order, there are two archangels. One for the good, one for the evil. Now, I'm not calling Satan an angel per se. Okay, he wasn't an angel, he was a cherub. But he stands over the order of demons, whereas Michael stands over the order of angels. How do the cherubim and seraphim fit into this? We'll get to that right at the end. But within the angelic order, not the cherubim, not the seraphim, Michael is the head. He is the chief. Of course, Christ is the head. The Father, God the Father, is over all. Christ is over all. They are sovereign, but he does have an important position. So we'll see that there are going to be multiple levels within the good angelic realm, even within the evil angelic realm. Michael was or is still the arch or chief angel. Would you turn to Daniel chapter 10? There's quite a bit, actually, about the questions regarding angels in the book of Daniel. It's surprising. You think of it as a book of prophecy and a book about, you know, the Antichrist and a book about the revived Roman Empire and so forth. You know, the golden statue, the fiery furnace, Belshazzar's feast, handwriting on the wall, okay, the really odd beasts and creatures and, you know, okay, so that's what we typically think of when we think of Daniel. Not wrongly, I mean, that's certainly the case. But Daniel, actually, this book reveals quite a bit about the angelic realm. And we're going to see here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, that Michael is one of the chief princes. Okay, we're going to be looking at the discussion between two individuals. One, an angel, Gabriel. another, a human being, the prophet Daniel. You can see that it is Gabriel speaking in chapter 9, verse 21. Go back that far, you'll see in context that Gabriel has come to Daniel to help him understand various prophecies that he's been pondering, wondering about various things. Now, we're going to look at chapter 10, starting in verse 12. Then he said to me, then Gabriel said to Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now, let's not get off too far into that. It is very interesting. How can an angel from God's order be hindered in his activities by a demon who is very powerful? We could discuss that, you know, for quite a while. Let's not get off track, though, because we're just talking about the organization of the angelic realm. So there was this duel, this battle, this incursion between a good angel and an evil angel, both powerful. Now, we don't know for sure what kind of rank within the order Gabriel has. We're never told in Scripture, but he's the most mentioned angel out of all of them. So one would presume that he, other than Satan, he's the most mentioned of the good angels. One would presume he's probably of a very high rank. It doesn't specifically say that, but he runs into a demon who is a chief prince, a very high-ranking, powerful being, and he's delayed for 21 days. So what happens? Middle of verse 13. Michael, one of the chief princes, okay, so Michael, he's not only archangel, but he's also chief prince. He's one of the chief princes. What's a chief prince? Now, I had to think about this for some time, looking at, meditating on the Scriptures. It seems that a chief prince is either an angel within that good hierarchy or a demon within the evil hierarchy who is over a country, a nation. There are so many Old and especially New Testament, especially Pauline references to the angelic realms ruling and having authority over, and even including the demonic realm, influencing governments and leaders, human governments and human leaders. And the head over each one of these countries seems to belong to the rank chief prince. But once again, when we're talking about Michael, he is one of the chief princes, but he's also chief angel, archangel. Now, over what country was Michael? I believe it is in chapter 10, verse 21, if you'll look there. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side, Gabriel talking. There is none who is helping me in this battle between the prince of Persia. Let's actually back up to verse 20, pick that up too. Let me read verse 20 for some context. Then he said, "Do you know why I have come to you?" Gabriel speaking to Daniel. "But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia." That's a demon. "And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come." Remember Alexander the Great? Okay, took over Persia, beat Persia. just as these prophecies in the book of Daniel speak of. So there's going to be a battle right now between Gabriel and the prince of Persia. Later, perhaps, he'll be contending with the prince of Greece. But, verse 21, I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these, except Michael. And what are the next two words? Your prince. Michael is archangel, the chief of the angelic order. He is also head over the angelic order of Israel. Okay, and that kind of stands to reason, right? That the archangel would also have another responsibility, wear another hat. But if he were going to be head over one country, which one do you think God would choose? Israel. Makes sense. Okay, so there are hierarchies within the angelic order. There is, first of all, an archangel. Michael, the archangel over the good angels. Satan, the arch, if you want to call it angel, using the term generically, over the demonic realm. By the way, just so that in case you're wondering, in case you're thinking, where's the verse? I don't know of a verse that specifically calls the devil an archangel. Okay. It's presumed that he, because he was the leader, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, because he was the leader of the rebellion, because he is the one most mentioned, because he's the one that does the accusing in heaven to God about the saints, it's presumed that he is over all. We do have some statements in the book of Revelation, though they don't use the word archangel, seem to indicate that as well. So, both the good and the evil angels have orders. Now, let's talk about chief princes a little bit more. Chief princes. Who is a chief prince among the angelic order? A chief prince would be, according to the passages that we just read, Daniel 13, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, a chief prince is an angel or a demon who is in charge of a nation. Now, let's bring up Gabriel for a moment. Because Gabriel is the only other, unless you are talking about Abaddon or Apollyon, he could be the fourth named angelic creature in the scriptures. We definitely have Michael, we definitely have Gabriel, and we definitely have Satan. Is there another angel who's named? If so, it would be Apollyon. That might be Satan, but probably more likely it's not Satan. And Apollyon would be the chief demon over what? Not over a country. What was that? Over the pit. Okay, over hell. Okay, Satan doesn't spend his time there. But there is a demon that the scriptures talk about, names him Apollyon or Abaddon, depending on whether you're looking at Hebrew or Greek, who is in charge of the underworld. Now, Gabriel. We are not told whether Gabriel is a chief prince or not, but he is the most mentioned of the good angels. Listen to these times when he's mentioned. He instructs Daniel in chapter 8 from verse 15 to verse 26. He instructs Daniel in chapter 9, verses 20 through 27, 10, 11, 12. Gabriel is mentioned regularly in the book of Daniel. But he's also mentioned in the New Testament. He is the angel that who announces the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 20. He is the one who tells Mary that she will bear the Messiah in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. So Gabriel stands, I'm quoting Luke chapter 1, verse 19, Gabriel stands in the presence of God. This is one of his privileges, to be able to be of such a high order among the angels, to be able to regularly be in the presence of God. If I could submit this to you, my guess would be he wouldn't guess. He's probably not a chief prince if a chief prince is over a country. He may be, though, the chief messenger, if you will, of God, because he is the one who is regularly a go-between God and the human realm. All right. Archangels, chief princes, thirdly, various rulers. There are two archangels, if you will, one over the good and over the bad. There are several, at least, probably many chief princes within the angelic order. There may be a whole lot more to the orders than we can even guess about, because the scripture only gives us a bit of information. But then there seems to be underneath, you know, probably many different levels of rank, many different orders. The angelic realm is likened to a host. That is God's host, the Lord's army. We see militaristic terms used to describe the angelic orders, both good and evil. But most clearly, when we talk about various levels of rulers, most clearly, we find this described in the writings of the Apostle Paul. So, the Apostle Paul uses words like ruler 7 different times to refer to both angels and demons. Let me list the passages and read one of them to you, because it's quite a bit of scripture. So here are the passages. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Ephesians chapter 1, 21, 3:10, and 6:12. And then in Colossians chapter 1, 16, 2:10, and later in 2:15. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And I chose this one out of all of them just because it's the best known of all the passages, rightly so, because he gives more information here than in any other. Best known of all the passages of Scripture regarding the rulers and the authorities. So let's pick it up in verse 10 at the beginning of this paragraph of chapter 6 and read down a little way. Finally, be strong in the Lord. The Apostle Paul talking to the church, talking to us. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. If the Lord will allow, we'll do a series. I don't know if it'll be years away. Love to do a series on the armor of God. I've got a large 3-volume commentary by a Puritan named Gernall on this section. I'd love to read it. I don't know if I'll ever, read every page, but boy, some kind of depth to that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We're not going to be talking about the devil tonight very much, but let's remind ourselves of this. Whereas most of the world probably is very aware of the demonic realm, Western Europe and especially America, North America, Canada, U.S., we're not very aware of it, and we don't think about it, and we don't pay heed, probably like we should, to these warnings. The Apostle Paul tells the church that you need, each member of the church needs to put on the armor of God, because the devil or demons are affecting us. They affect our world. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You watch the news for 10 minutes, right? Maybe 15. And within about 15 minutes, they're going to be talking about the elections that are coming this fall. And do you fret about or worry about, okay, is it going to be, this person or that? Is it going to be this person within maybe the party that you like? Should we fret about that? Is that really our primary problem? I mean, I'm going to vote. You know I'm going to vote. I want to vote. I want to be in the primary as well as in the general election. That's my privilege as a citizen, so we should take that privilege. But folks, don't miss the fact that the person who is head over the government of the United States, though it may seem like he or possibly she in this election, it may seem like that person is in charge and is calling the shots, and unilaterally, along with the Congress and so forth, and with the balance of power and a maker, do we realize that there are spiritual forces behind them who are affecting our country? There are spiritual forces behind the leaders of every country on earth who are affecting the human realm. Paul calls them rulers and authorities. Again, verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Yes, we do, but our primary battle is actually not against them. It is against instead the rulers, against the authorities. If we aren't exactly sure what that means, rulers or authorities, he makes it very clear next. Against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, the heavenly realms, the air, heavenly. Don't think just heaven as in the place where God is. Again, the three heavens and so forth. There are spiritual forces of evil. By the way, there are spiritual forces of good as well. But there are evil forces who influence our governments. Now, hopefully they don't get their way. And if we are praying, perhaps God will adjust according in his sovereign plan from before the foundation of the world, and he works our prayers into that plan. He's known before we would ever pray what we would pray. He may decide to work that in. We are told to pray for our rulers, our authorities, and not to badmouth them. Now, what should we do then? Take up the whole armor of God. All right. Seven times Paul talks about, it's not like this is once, and it's not like there's any doubt about it. Seven times he mentions that there are rulers, both angelic and demonic, who influence our existence. Now, what are these angels and demons ruling over? First, they're ruling over each other in ranks. Second, they are ruling over and influencing the affairs of mankind. They're called authorities and powers in many New Testament passages. Some of them are the same that I just mentioned. Some of them are different. Ephesians 1:21, Ephesians 2:2 that we'll read in just a moment, 3:10 and 6:12, Colossians 1:16 and 2:10 and 2:15, and in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 24, authorities and powers. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. I'll read verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You were a spiritual cadaver. You were dead. Okay? You were dead in the trespasses and sin. You weren't alive spiritually. You had no spiritual antenna, no receptor. That's why Jesus says you have to be born again. That's why the New Testament says you can't, the unbeliever can't see. The unbeliever can't hear again and again and again. Okay, so Paul says we were dead, spiritual cadavers in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. That is probably Satan. Okay. Again, heavenlies or air up there. The prince of, the chief prince, the arch demon, the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, Who are the sons of disobedience? That's a lot of people. Sons of disobedience. The ones who are unbelievers. The ones who are walking according to the course of this world. They are controlled. Realize it or not, they are controlled by the demonic realm. They are the children of the devil. Most of them wouldn't claim that. They would reject that claim. But that's what the New Testament says. So, we used to be like that. By God's grace, because of God's grace, we are no longer like that. So on the good side, God has his government. On the evil side, Satan has his government or his army. Within that angelic order, the good angels, there can't be any disorder in the ranks. You know, what happens there? I mean, there's not friction. There aren't problems. There's complete harmony and peace within the angelic order. Within the demonic order, probably not so. Probably not so at all. And I think we see clues of that in Scripture. We won't take the time. I'll just, you know, toss out a hint. I mean, you look at, you know, the fear of the demons with the maniac of Gadara. Why don't they want to get sent out of their country? Country. Do you hear that? Country. Why don't they want to? Well, if they have to go to another country, they're going to be under the thumb, the rulership of a different demon. Are they even going to be welcome there? Probably not. They don't want to go there. So there is a hierarchy, there is an order, but within the satanic government, probably there's all kinds of problems and infighting, I would just assume, because they are evil. Now, in conclusion, let's concentrate for a moment on the three, not the organization, but the three orders. Three orders: cherubim, seraphim, the regular angels. All right. How do the cherubim and seraphim and angels, how within the order and ranking, how do they all fit together? I have no idea. The Scripture doesn't say, and I can't find any clues, any hints, so I give up. I'm not even going to try it. What you can say is that Satan as a cherubim was over, you know, the demonic realm. Michael, as not a cherubim, but as an angel, a regular angel, is over the angelic order. Do the cherubim and seraphim who haven't fallen, do they fit under Michael? I have no idea. None. So don't want to speculate on that. Just don't know. It might be that the cherubim and seraphim don't have a ranking within that order. Maybe they have their own hierarchy, but they perhaps have specially appointed tasks that keeps them from being in that particular order. Whatever the case is, we won't know this side of heaven. Okay? So, interesting information. What should we take away from this? Here's what we should take away. Don't have a preoccupation with the angelic and demonic orders or realms. That would not be healthy. Okay. To become overly focused on that, to spend weeks and months studying this out, especially not the demonic order. Okay. But at the same time, if the Scriptures reveal a lot, and they do reveal a lot of information about angels, if they reveal a lot of information, it behooves us at some point in our lives to at least spend a little bit of time considering what information is there. And that is what we're doing. And I pray that as you think about the fact that the angelic and demonic realms influence the human realm, that you will be internally desiring to put on the whole armor of God, because that is how we stand against them, against their influence. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful tonight that you have revealed that there are beings in heaven, in another dimension, who serve you, who serve us, who influence our realm, who look into our realm and desire to understand more fully redemption. We're thankful that they are pleased when an unbeliever trusts you as Savior. We're thankful that someday we will see them and meet them. We're also thankful that there is no demon who can influence us and harm us because of your sovereign control. We're thankful that each one of them is under your power. And unless you were pleased, like with Job, to allow them a greater amount of freedom, that they cannot do a thing to us unless we open ourselves up. Oh Lord, help us to put your armor on. Help us to recognize that there is more to this life than just the human governments and the things that we do, our work and our families, that there is something beyond that. We are warned so many times by Paul about this. May we be aware, especially us in the Western world, may we be aware and not be ignorant of this important subject. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.